And if I were to take one drop of this source, and I were to put it over here, and I were to say to this drop of water, I would like you to create and sustain life. I would like you to perform miracles. I would like you to end all of my problems. And you watch that drop of water, separate from its source, you would see that it's going to change form from liquid into gas. And eventually it'll return to its source. There's no place else that it can go. There's only one source. But while this drop of water is separate from its source, it loses all of the power of its source. And this drop of water, separate from its source, is a symbol or a metaphor for your ego, the part of you that believes that you have separated from this divinity into which you were created. And as long as you're here believing that you're separate from it, you will not understand the powers that you get when you figure out a way to reconnect to your source and becoming quiet and becoming someone who is making conscious contact with your source is what I'm asking you to look at. Because once you leave this ego behind, once you leave behind this idea that I'm separate from it and reconnect to it, then all of the powers of the source, of the ocean, the powers to create and sustain life, the powers to heal, the powers to attract abundance into my life, the powers to make my relationships divine and beautiful, the powers to appreciate, the powers to be miraculous. As one of my teachers, Abraham Maslow, once said, that self-actualizing people, these people who live at the highest levels, are people who must be what they can be. They must be what they're potentially capable of being. And this is what I mean by being in the world of spirit. One of my favorite Persian poets, Rumi, who lived back in the 13th century, once said, "Sell your cleverness and purchase bewilderment." Be in a state of bewilderment. That's what I mean by being spiritual. One of the ways to test whether you're on the path that I'm speaking about, the path of being into a spiritual being, having a human experience rather than the other way around, is to detect in yourself how much of my energy and my time do I spend being in a state of cheerfulness. How cheerful am I? Or how morose am I? How down am I? How, when I'm coming home to my family and to those that I love, how am I anticipating what it's going to be like when I go into the house? Am I down more? Am I unhappy more? Am I looking at the pessimistic side of life? Am I always feeling that something might be wrong? Am I putting my attention on what I don't want? Because if your thoughts are on what you don't want, and what you think about is what expands, what you don't want is what you'll continue to see showing up in your life. You'll keep purchasing it. Another element of what we call spiritual in these three words in this program is the sense or the extent to which you feel connected to other people. You see, the ego is the part of us that believes that we're separate from each other. I'm separate from you, you're separate from me. You have a different body than I do. I'm separate from what I would like to attract into my life, and I am separate from God. When you move into a spiritual approach to life, you begin to see yourself as connected to everyone and everything. And competition is replaced by something called cooperation. And when you see another human being in pain or struggling, you know that a part of you is in pain and struggling. And you begin to reach out rather than looking within and saying, how does this affect just me? It's almost as if you have to make a shift. And there's a wonderful story, and I'd like to share this story with you. This is a story that took place at the Special Olympics in Seattle. And it's a true story. And when I read it, it really grabbed me. And I thought, when I do this program, I would like to share this with the rest of the world. A few years ago, at the Seattle Special Olympics, 9 contestants, all physically or mentally disabled, assembled at the starting line for the 100-yard dash. At the gun, they all started out, not exactly in a dash, but with a relish to run the race, to finish, and to win. All that is except one little boy who stumbled on the asphalt and tumbled over a couple of times, and he began to cry. The other 8 heard the little boy crying. They slowed down and looked back. Then they all turned around and went back. And every single one of them. And one little girl with Down syndrome bent down and kissed him and said, "This will make it better." Then all nine linked arms and walked together to the finish line. Everyone in the stadium stood, and the cheering went on for several minutes. Isn't that a beautiful story? It's the kind of thing that I refer to when I use this word spiritual. A sense of an awareness that it isn't about being better than somebody else. I think true nobility is not about being better than anyone else. It's about being better than you used to be. And I know this about myself, that if any one of you watching this show or any of you here in this audience were giving this talk, I could be sitting in that audience, and I would have just as much to learn from what you had to say to me as you have to learn from what I may be saying to you.